gets around. She's crafty.
She's always down.
She's crafty.
She's got it great.
She's crafty. And she's just my type.
She's crafty.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, Nick DiGilio, here till 5. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. Today is International Left-Handers Day. So is anybody, we have some guests in. Is anybody here left-handed?
I'm not.
No. Okay.
And you
I am.
You got your left-handed.
I do. I have my left-handed shirt on.
Yeah. That's
that proves
good.
That I'm lefty. We've been persecuted for years. The world is made for right-handed people. So we have to stand up. But anyway, we're going to celebrate that a little bit later on. Right now, though, as you heard, that was the Beastie Boys. And there's a really great event that's happening on Saturday, August 17th. And it's MCA Day. It's a celebration of the life of Adam MCA Yauch. And the legacy of the Beastie Boys. And it's going to be at Lincoln Hall. It's 15 in advance, $20 at the door. And it all benefits a really important charity that we want to get to. What's really cool about it is that one of the people that are one of the a group that's going to be performing there and have been around for a while is She's Crafty, which is Chicago's all-female Beastie Boys tribute band, which seems to me to be fantastic. And I want to welcome She's Crafty to the studio. Amy Sumter, Maggie Tomasek, Kendra Stevens, and Erica Reed. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
Wow. So let's go down the line here. Introduce yourselves. You are?
Maggie Tomasek, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Mag Rock.
Yeah. And are you from Chicago?
I'm not from Chicago originally, but I've been here almost 10 years now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And you're next?
I am Amy Sumter, and I am MC Amy, which makes me giggle every time.
Yep.
And I was born and raised in Illinois, grew up in the northwest suburbs, and have lived in Chicago now for a very long time.
Okay. Next?
Kendra Stevens. Yeah. I'm Kendi. I moved around a lot as a kid, but I've been in Chicago for 21 years, so this is home.
It's home. Okay. And then Erica, how are you?
I'm great.
Yeah.
So I'm Erica Reed. I'm DJ Energy, and I'm from Mississippi originally, but I've been in Chicago for 19 years.
Yeah. Okay. Very, very cool. Well, I have to ask, how did this come together? I have to say that I'm sorry that I did not know about this event. This annual event, because now having read about it, it sounds fantastic, and it's for a great cause. And you know, remembering MCA is a really important thing, as he was taken from us way, way, way too soon. But so I'm really excited about this event. But I do want to know the origin. How did you guys get together? How did that happen?
Well, well, well.
Here's a little story we got to tell.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, we all do comedy. We're either stand-ups or storytellers or improvisers. We've all kind of run in the same circles for a while. And me and Kendra have known each other for a while. And one night, after a drunken Lollapalooza, we did Rock Band, and she kicked butt when she did Sabotage. And I was like, oh my gosh, my karaoke song is Get It Together. And she turned to me and without hesitation was like, I've always wanted to start an all-female Beastie Boy tribute band. And I was like, I think it just happened. And so we would just talk about it.
Out of the movie Step Brothers.
Like, literally.
We just become best friends.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, we did all the activities. You know, it was awesome. So cut to a year later, I'm in a stand-up class and I meet Maggie. And sure enough, on our very last day of class, she's like, my go-to karaoke song is Paul Revere. And I was like, you're in our band.
Wow.
And then eventually Maggie and Kendra met. And again, we would perform. We would always talk about it. And we almost did a show and it fell through. And then unfortunately, MCA passed away.
Yeah.
And then when he passed away, I remember it was like a week later, we got together. We did karaoke. We only did Beastie Boy songs. And it was one of those, like, we either stop talking about it or we do it right now.
Absolutely.
And from that moment on, we would rehearse. We would, you know, choose a song. We would learn the parts. You know, we would do the specific parts. We'd break it down, and then eventually we met Erica, and it was magic.
Yeah.
And then it all came together.
That's really awesome. Now, when you guys perform, do you get into costume? Do you dress up like the Beastie Boys?
We don't. we don't. We dress like ourselves.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're comfortable in.
Yeah.
And also because, you know, we're women. So it'd be a little bit weird if we were just like fully imitating them.
Yeah.
So we
I was just curious because a lot of tribute bands dress up like the.
Yeah,
I always prefer the tribute bands that just like one of my favorite tribute bands of all time is War Pigs. They're the Black Sabbath tribute band. Mm. Obviously, they're called War Pigs, and they're just construction workers, and they're just dudes, and they
awesome.
And they just come out on stage and go, "How you doing? We're War Pigs," and then they sound exactly like Sabbath. And
that's awesome.
And it's amazing, and I always prefer that. You know, I've seen like a lot of the. A lot of these tribute bands where, like, I said, there's a band called Presence that's obviously a Zeppelin tribute band, and they get the wigs, and they call each other Bonzo on stage and, you know, Pagey, and I'm like, they're doing the British accents, and they're clearly from, you know, from Hoffman Estates or something. And so I always find it cool that just people go out and it's about the music, really.
Yeah, we want to honor the Beastie Boys and not parody them.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Of course. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay. Like, don't get me wrong. When we first started, we got the jumpsuits. It was, you know, the Adidas track suits. And I am a tall, luscious lady. And let me tell you, tall, they don't come in tall sizes, women's jumpsuits. Also, we still wear the track jackets, but they are lined in velour and they are
They're very warm.
It's all. Off. Like we've done a couple of street festivals where it's like, are we gonna die of heat stroke?
Yeah.
We are gonna die of heat stroke. Yeah. So let's just skip the track.
Well, let's go to because I'm loving this. I want to get your backgrounds too because you talked about improv and comedy and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied improv at Second City and all that, and I did a lot of storefront theater. So I think we're gonna have a lot to talk about here.
Heck yeah!
But let's get into the how you got turned on to the Beastie Boys. Let's go right down the line. Were you always a Beastie Boys fan?
Yeah, I've been a Beastie Boys fan for. As long as I can remember, I'm the youngest of four kids, so my older siblings were listening to them. I was probably listening to them at too young of an age. but yeah, they've been my favorite band ever since I was in elementary school and continued to be that way into my adult years. And, you know, all of my like friends from high school and like back in the day when they find out I'm doing this, they're like, oh, yes, duh.
Yeah.
You know, you've always been this huge Beastie Boys fan. Of course you're doing this now.
Now, what about you?
Well, similar. I remember I was a, you know, child of the 80s watching MTV way too young. And I remember the Fight for Your Right video. And I remember having feelings for MCA and very upset that he was being so mean to those nerds. But at the same time, feeling some feelings that I didn't understand.
Uh-huh.
But I think I also was just like too young and I didn't have older siblings. So it was like just me discovering stuff. So for me, it was high school, Ill Communication, being at a work picnic. And the cool guy my friend had a crush on was playing it. And of course, it was an excuse to go and talk to him, like, ooh, what are you playing? And I literally, like, that night went to Tower Records, bought the album, was blown away, went back to Tower Records, and then just got, like, Paul's Boutique, Check Your Head. Like, and then it was like, oh my God, I love them.
Yeah.
And this is fantastic.
Hey, everybody remember Tower Records?
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Bring it back.
It's very big in Japan still, if you've seen the Colin Hanks documentary.
Let's go.
Which is very good.
We should go.
So, Kendra, what about you? You always been a Beastie Boys fan?
I got more into them, Ill Communication and Check Your Head. I also, the video for Fight for Your Right, I was like, they look mean. I don't want to listen to them. So I didn't really listen to License to Ill. And
yeah,
then,
that first album, they really pumped up the obnoxious part. I mean, they got much cooler as the albums went along. But mm-hmm. I still like License to Ill. I still do.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's like a definite like nostalgia for it. But it wasn't until like I was in college when Check Your Head came out and Ill Communication, and that was when I really got more into it. So
yeah. What about you, Erica? You've been a fan the whole time?
Pretty similar. I come from a big music family, and my folks would always take us to concerts. They would take us out of school to take us to concerts, and we would travel all over. And
well, that's
so
cool.
I have an older brother, and so we all probably, you know, Fight for Your Right was the intro into it, and then the Check Your Head, Ill Communication was when it really solidified. And Lollapalooza 94, when there was touring, I'm from Mississippi, they were playing in New Orleans, and my folks took us out of school and drove me, my brother, and his two best friends there, dropped us off to spend all day there, and got to see them live, and it was amazing.
I saw them on the tour too.
Oh, so really good.
Great. I'm so
jealous. For me, it was, I mean, I'm in my 50s, so I was, you know, in my 20s when Fight for Your Right came out. And I liked it. I didn't go nuts over it. I liked it. But for me, Paul's Boutique is a game changer.
Yes,
100%.
And an absolute game changer. And when I first heard it, I was like, this is one of the greatest albums. One of the best hip-hop albums ever recorded. The production, the sampling, everything about it is astonishing.
It's innovative.
It was unbelievable, crazy. And especially for a sophomore, you know, for a sophomore effort, it was like, whoa.
A sophomore effort that failed.
Yeah.
And they were kids. Yeah. They were children. So young.
Absolutely. And I mean, that record, you know, I mean, it's monumental.
Absolutely.
But it's not my favorite. Which is weird because my favorite is Check Your Head. I like the fact that they went to instruments on Check Your Head, even though they couldn't play them very well at the beginning.
But they went back to their punk rock roots.
They did. So that record, you guys mentioned No Communication. Those are nice bookends right there. But for me, Check Your Head was the one that I played the most, despite the fact that I thought Paul's Boutique was like, what is this? And I've loved I love them their entire career. Especially once Paul's Boutique came out, I took them seriously. Because when License to Ill came out,
totally.
You know, I was like, okay, it's funny. These three Jewish white guys, you know, running around rapping.
They were just trying to make noise.
Yeah, exactly. But
then
that second record,
they were
like people like in that second record, like me, who was being pompous about it, like, oh, screw these guys. When that record came out, I was like, oh, they proved something because it's an amazing record. So, okay, guys, hang on. Okay,
right.
We got to take a break. I am with the members of She's Crafty, Chicago's all female Beastie Boys tribute band. I love that. This Saturday, August 17th, is MCA Day Chicago. You can see them perform at Lincoln Hall, which is a great place. $15 in advance, $20 at the doors. And we'll tell you all about the show and the charity that it's benefiting and much more after we break for the news here on 720 WGN. Oh, man, the Beastie Boys. Love these guys. She's Crafty is Chicago's all-female Beastie Boys tribute band, and they are live in studio with me. We have Maggie, we have Amy, we have Kendra, and we have Erica. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank
ladies! You. That had to happen. That probably happens to you all the time. I would imagine it happens to you.
It's a must. It's a must.
Yeah, at this point, it's like, yeah, it's great. You know, I actually, one time I saw... what am I blanking on his name? The tall guy from Babe, the farmer.
Oh,
James Cromwell.
James Cromwell. Okay, so I saw James Cromwell walking down. I saw James Cromwell walking down the street here in Chicago, and you know, he was passing my way, and I love the guy, and I went, "Hey, that'll do, pig!" And he just kind of looked at me and walked away, and I was like, literally, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I'm like, he hears that 83 times a day. And then I felt like a real schmuck, and I was like, oh, man, that was stupid. So I had to get the hey ladies out of the way.
Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good.
Appreciate it.
So we heard about how you guys first got inspired and listened to Into the Beasties. Tell me about some of your first gigs.
How did
it start out?
We've come such a long way. Well, like what Amy was saying earlier about, you know, how we kind of started, you know, doing karaoke, and we got together after Adam Yauch died in 2012, and we had such low expectations and aspirations of what this could be, you know, because we come from this comedy background. We're like, well, maybe people will let us be the variety act, you know, in their show, or we could do like these small... you know, be the musical interlude for these like improv shows or something. Mm-hmm. Like, we just wanted to get stage time.
Yeah.
And, you know, after we played a couple of these shows, people went bananas.
Crazy.
Like, people were like, you guys are really awesome. We're like, oh, we are? Well,
yeah.
Maybe we should do this for realsies and get a DJ and learn how to be a musician.
Exactly. Like, our first DJ was Sarah T, and she kind of taught us some stuff. And then we had our first gig at the Mutiny, and we only had 20 minutes. And it was like the first snow right before Christmas. So most of our friends are already left for out of town.
Oh,
they already
man.
Went back home.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's snowing. And of course, it's the first snow. So like no one wants to leave their house. And like the ceiling is bulging because there's a leak. And like I just remember like the bartender stabbed it, and like all this water and grossness came out. And then the sound guy was mad at us because we only had 20 minutes. And it was like, we've been practicing in Maggie's backyard for like 4 months. Like, we thought 20 minutes was like awesome. And now we can do like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So slowly, what were the first songs you learned?
Well, the first three songs that we learned were No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
We got Fight for Your Right, and we realized how like ridiculously easy it is.
No, we don't want to do that one.
Yeah.
It's not as fun.
It
so we did
boring.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Sure Shot, and So What You Want were the first three songs that we learned. And we did it intentionally, too, because we wanted to try and have like songs from each of their albums. So then, like, the next one I think we learned was Shake Your Rump, and then we did Intergalactic, because we were, again, we were trying to get, like, one from every album, and then we just have continued to grow from there.
Yeah. And so the gigs early on, they were a little shaky, but then you guys got better.
Or even just, like, learning those first few songs, like Super Disco Breakin', like, trying to figure out, like, who's saying what, and then when they're singing together, and then that, like, those early rehearsals were really rough.
Yeah. Well, also the early gigs, too, it was literally we would walk up with a laptop and then hit play.
And we're then like, there'd be a pause. Have microphones? No microphones? No, cool. We'll just use our voices.
Oh,
we'll just scream over. Oh, and then we did a show where it's kind of like a secret venue, and like 100 people showed up, and the venue was saying no to people, and they were screaming so loud, and we were just screaming back. And then we always throw buttons into the crowd, and one of the buttons came undone and like stabbed our friend. Like, he caught it, and he was like, "You stabbed me," but it was awesome. And we're like, "Oh, sorry."
That's great. That's great. All right, you mentioned you guys have some comedy background. Yes. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when I moved to Chicago, I've always been a huge, I don't like to say a student of comedy, but I've just been obsessed with stand-up comedy and, you know, my whole life. So I moved to Chicago. I had a couple women friends who had taken this comedy class, and I didn't really know anyone, and I'd always had that interest. So I was like, well, worst case scenario, I'll just meet some like-minded women and that I can be friends with. And best case scenario, I'll get to start doing comedy. And it was best of both worlds, because I met Amy and then eventually met Kendra and Erica, like, through that whole scene. And then also have had the opportunity to, you know, do some stand-up comedy, do a lot of storytelling more so over the past, you know, 10 years.
One of my good friends is a woman named Jen Bosworth.
We know Jen.
Yeah, I love her. She's one of my favorite people on the planet. And she's been on the show many, many times and is a remarkable storyteller.
She certainly is.
She's fantastic.
You know, that whole world, she introduced me to that world a bunch of years ago when I first had her on the show. Mm-hmm. We had a whole bunch of the people in the storytelling world come in. And it was great. It was just great to have
those
people.
She was at the very first MCA day, which she told the story of how she met them when she lived in L.A.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was awesome.
She has some incredible... Now, you know she worked for Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
The stories that she has and the imitation that she does of Nicolas Cage is so amazing. Yeah, it's so amazing. One of my favorites is that she said, like, in the middle of the night, she got a call from him as his assistant. He's like, Jen, what's a deli? I'm not doing the imitation as well as Jen does it, but Nicolas Cage called her up and asked her what a deli was. And she had to try to explain what a deli was to Nicolas Cage. So that's cool. Do you like doing stand-up?
Yeah. I've transitioned into more doing storytelling, which I think I like a little bit more. I've always been a writer. That's kind of what I do for my day job.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy stand-up when I get the chance to do it.
It's a whole different... I did improv and theater for a long time, but it's a whole different ball game. I don't think people realize just, you know, what stand-up is a whole different thing.
Absolutely.
You got no one to rely on stage but yourself.
Yep.
So, Amy, what about you?
I do stand-up.
Do you?
I've been doing it for like over 12 years. I recorded my first album this year.
Oh,
hopefully,
good for you.
Like, I release it this year. We're so close because someone edited it. Thank you. And so I've been doing stand up. But I started off in the theater, like performing in plays in school. Like, when I think about it, I think I've been getting on a stage for like almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Now.
It's fun, man.
It's addicting. And the thing is, too, I remember the first time we were at Lincoln Hall. You know, like Shake Your Rump at the end when they're screaming and they're yelling and like the crowd, whatever. I always want the crowd to be as excited as they are on the song. And then at that show, they got like that.
Yeah.
And I got like a lump in my throat.
That's great.
It was like, oh my God.
That's
like,
really
great. They love this. So I've been doing stand-up for a real long time.
The theater scene in Chicago is fantastic.
Absolutely.
I was with the Factory Theater for about 14 years.
Oh, awesome.
And I was AD for a while and all that stuff. And I did a bunch of shows there. And they're still going strong. Factory. They just started
down the street from my house.
Yeah. They just started rehearsals last night for their next next show. And they're in their 27th year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like that. Yeah. It's amazing. Okay. Kendra, what about you?
I also always did theater growing up, degree in theater. And then in college I had a professor who would let me write my own monologues. So I started doing that, and then when I moved to Chicago, I got tired of auditioning, so then kind of, I guess through the Cates, really, like, met some women who wanted to do some stuff. So then we would write our own stuff, which at first it was more like performance arty or like straight up monologues. And then that kind of morphed into storytelling. I took the same stand-up class that Maggie and Amy did. I was in the first class of that ever. And
where
I did
was this,
that.
By the way? Where was it?
It was through Lincoln Lodge at the time, mm-hmm. but now it's the feminine.
Yeah, it is still okay. The feminine comique.
Okay. All right.
And I really liked doing a stand-up when it was going well, but when it's not.
It's painful.
It's painful.
It's painful.
And I didn't like it enough to put the work in to make it go well more than it didn't. So then I've just been focusing on storytelling. But yeah. I do think having stand-up training does help your storytelling.
I totally
100%.
agree.
And our stand-up background comes in handy for She's Crafty because we're just doing bits
the whole time.
Give me a microphone, I'm going to talk into it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. What about you, Erica? What's your background?
So I have a dance and theater background also, and when I moved here for improv, and I would choreograph on the side, did stuff at IO in the playground.
Sure.
But my biggest comedy contribution to Chicago was that we formed Bloot Productions with Steve Gadlin. We ran Don't Spit the Water for years and years, and then Impress These Apes had 8 or 9 seasons, and now we're producing Steve Gadlin Star Makers on Can TV.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. So
that
it's a lot
fantastic.
Of fun. So a cool thing about how I joined the band, I came in a couple years after they started. I would see their shows and be a fan in the audience as a Beastie Boys fan and seeing them perform, and I was blown away. And as I got to know them, Amy one day was like, hey, you know music and you know the Beastie Boys. Our DJ's moving away. Would you be interested in being our DJ? And I was like, I have zero skills in that, and I will teach myself how to do it, and I will edit these tunes, and let's get going. And it was really a gift to join the band. Exactly.
Cool. Yeah.
She's good because we found a lot of stuff online, and I remember our first instrumental of Sure Shot had a skip, and like the first time she heard it, she's like, this skips, I'm gonna fix it. And she did. And it was like, oh my God, she fixed it.
That's like, great. That's so great. And it's, I can tell you guys have amazing chemistry together. You know, I can just feel it in the...
We spend a lot of time together.
It feels that way.
We go on a lot of road trips.
Yeah. In the last 3 years, we've started playing more out of town shows, you know, kind of touring in the Midwest, you know, your Madison.
Big deal in Des Moines.
We're a big deal in Des Moines.
Pretty
big deal.
That's right.
Huge.
We are.
Huge.
And we say this joking, but we legitimately are.
Like, we really
sell
are.
We sell every show that we play there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, hang on. We have all the members of She's Crafty, Chicago's all-female Beastie Boys tribute band. You can see them this Saturday, the 17th, at the beautiful Lincoln Hall. It's MCA Day. It's a celebration of the life of Adam Yauch and the legacy of the Beastie Boys. And it's for a great cause, which we're going to talk about when we get back. Ladies, hang on, and we shall return right after this.
All you Trekkies and TV addicts, don't mean to diss, don't mean to bring static. All you Klingons in your grandma's house, grab your backstreet friend and get loud. Bullet doors off inches, grab you with the pinches. And no, I didn't retire.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That's the Beastie Boys. And I am with Chicago's all-female Beastie Boys tribute band, She's Crafty. It's Maggie and Amy and Kendra and Erica. Welcome back, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So tell me about MCA Day and what it benefits.
Sure. So MCA Day started in New York City really organically after Adam Yauch died in 2012. It started out just, you know, all of these Beastie Boys fans coming together to, you know, celebrate Yauch's life a couple weeks after he passed. And people just came out in droves. It was really like a big family day. You know, people were doing sidewalk art, and they were skateboarding, and, you know, Adam Horovitz showed up, and then MCA Day New York, you know, they kind of turned it into a bigger performance, and when we saw what they were doing, we kind of connected with them, and we're like, you know what, we should put something on in Chicago and kind of make it our own. So we have, it's morphed a little bit over the years, but we've kind of turned it into a bunch of musicians and DJs and performers to come together to play Beastie Boys covers. And we donate all the money to charity.
And the charity specifically?
Yeah. So, and the charity that we work with specifically is the Brandon C. Gramada Head and Neck Cancer Foundation. And the big reason that we partnered with them, Adam Yauch died from head and neck cancer.
Yeah.
And so we, and also just the spirit of the Beastie Boys, you know, so much humanitarian and philanthropy you know, in their history and in their spirit. So we wanted to continue that. And the Gramadas, Brandon Gramada, who the namesake of the foundation, he was a huge Beastie Boys fan. And he had the same type of cancer that MCA did. And he ended up passing away just a couple weeks after Adam Yauch did. And, you know, very soon after his death, his family started this foundation. And we've become pretty close with the Gramada family. They actually live in Cincinnati. And one of Brandon's brothers lives in the suburbs of Chicago, and they come to MCA Day every year too. And we're able to, you know, give the foundation. We've raised more than $10,000 for them over the years, and all the money for the foundation they use for research. I mean, it goes straight into research, you know, for new treatments, which hopefully will lead to finding a cure.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's really great. And again, it's this Saturday, August 17th, 8 o'clock, 15 in advance, 20 at door. And it's at Lincoln Hall, which is 2424 North Lincoln Avenue. A really great place. Who else is going to be there that night?
Oh my gosh, we have so many bands come in, and a lot of pieces of bands coming together. So Bad Acids, they're coming in from South Bend. We have Torso is a group made up of
like a super group
of like local Chicago people. Jill Hopkins will be emceeing. We have DJ
and
Intel.
She has a band called Jill Communication.
Like,
come on.
Yeah. Like, come on. That's amazing. It's amazing. We're hoping that Nathaniel Hornblower will make an appearance as well.
And Romeo Dance Cheetahs performing.
Oh my God. Like, if you have not seen that, you need to see that. And DJ Pickle.
DJ Jake Pickle. Mm-hmm. And DJ Intel.
DJ Intel. Yep. Yeah.
So we just have a ton of people, very talented musicians, and
everyone's donating their time for the charity and for the event, which is really special.
Yeah. And people like put together bands specifically for it as well, which is really amazing.
You know, take the time to, they have to learn new songs, you know, and you know, new arrangements, and it's really amazing.
And no song will be played twice.
Yes.
So it'll be all, you will not hear two Beastie Boys songs.
Correct.
No repeats.
Because that's the thing, like, we'll get on and people will start yelling like, Brass Monkey. And we're like, dude, that was played at 7:15. You are late.
You missed it.
You burnt. So yeah.
That's great.
No and then mas. We'll be closing out the night with our set at the end of the night, which will be a lot of fun. Yeah. We have some new songs that we're going to debut. Uh-huh. So get ready.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
Did deep cuts.
Did you guys get the book?
Oh my gosh, yes.
How awesome is that thing?
It is so good.
Read the book, and then I listened to the audiobook right after.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
We saw them in their show in Brooklyn and bawled our eyes out and then spoke to a camera crew afterwards, still very verklempt.
Yeah.
Because it was so emotional.
It's amazing. And the book weighs 75 pounds.
Oh, I know.
It's worth every ounce.
So, we flew out to Brooklyn for the show, like, because they announced it like a couple weeks beforehand. We got the tickets. It was like a Monday night. We're like, all right, we're going. Just a backpack on our shoulders. We go to the show. We buy all the merch.
And then they had signed books, so we had to buy it.
So I was like, well, I already had the other book, but I can't not get the signed
one. You gotta get the signed book.
So we come back. My backpack weighed like 400 pounds just from
that book. I think I had to put some of my merch in your backpack. It was like, okay, if I put this there, or if I wear these two t-shirts, I can get on the plane again.
Have you guys met them?
No.
No.
And okay.
Are they aware of you guys?
We think so. And especially after being interviewed for the behind the scenes stuff for the, they filmed the show in Brooklyn. We're like, if they don't know about us, they will
when they see the footage, because we got interviewed by Spike Jonze's crew, who was also Lance Bangs. Like, Lance Bangs interviewed us.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
We had to sign a waiver and everything. Yeah. So
got to be something if they came to one of your shows.
Oh my God.
We think about it all the time. Pass out.
Okay. Like, this is so nerdy and so embarrassing to admit, but I want to say, like, the first few shows we did, like our first show at the Double Door, we totally put Ad Rock and Mike D on the list.
We did. Just in case.
That is hilarious.
It's just like, hey, Mike D and Ad Rock, and if you ever come.
Here's the thing. We know that if they saw us, they would love us.
Oh my God,
we have so
best
much
friends.
Fun. We joke around. They joke around. We really keep their spirit alive.
We'd be best friends with them.
Yeah.
Like, and not in a, like, we're going to be best friends. Like, not in a creepy, like, doll way, but, like, in a, we have, like.
And especially after reading the book, when you, like, all of the weird inside jokes that they had, and,
like they're trying to crack up each other, yeah, and that's, and, what, like, we that's what we do on stage.
You know, if we're playing a show where just like, man, we've tens had some shows where there's just tens of people and they do not care. We're just trying to entertain each other, yep, and then we end up having a good time.
And if we have a good time, the audience has a good time.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. It's contagious.
Exactly.
I just do want to say this about the Beastie Boys. Funny guys.
Oh,
I mean,
they're hilarious.
Unbelievably hilarious. And Sabotage is my favorite video, like, ever.
Of all time.
It's perfect.
It's unbelievable. The first time I saw it, I was like, this is the greatest video I've ever seen.
It is.
And it still holds up as one of the best videos
of all time. It stands the test of time.
And when Nathaniel Hornblower stormed the stage and said that, and then also told
everybody. He had all the ideas for Star Wars.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like,
which is just genius. Absolutely.
And, like, Michael Stipe wasn't even mad.
No.
Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
No. Michael Stipe wasn't even mad.
We always say that if you leave a She's Crafty show and you want to go home and listen to your Beastie Boys records, then we've done our job.
Yeah. That's all
we keep
want.
Their spirit going.
That's fantastic.
We just want them to be like the number one download on iTunes, RIP. I don't even know how to refer to iTunes anymore. Or just like Spotify, whatever. Like, we just want them to like get a boost and be like, we did that.
Yeah. Well, listen, MCEA Day is this Saturday, and it all starts at 8 o'clock. Tons of bands and musicians and talent there at Lincoln Hall, and I'll be ended with a set by She's Crafty, who are in studio with me. Whenever I have musicians in, I always ask two questions of them. You know, singers, musicians, anybody who comes in who's in the music world. So here's the first one. I'm going to go down the line.
All right.
So what was the first album you ever bought?
First album I ever bought was Michael Jackson Bad.
Bad? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I mean, with my own dollars.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Yeah,
my own dollars. Yep.
Okay.
This is the most horrifying thing I've ever said.
I just want to say this. I want to say this. Every time I ask this question of musicians, there's at least two or three people in the room who go, oh, man.
It is. It's not good. It's not good.
Yeah. Okay.
First album, Debbie Gibson, Out of the Blue.
That was my second one, Amy.
The Cure. Okay. So, all like, right. I made up for it. Okay. All right. Only in my dreams. Only
Out of
in
the
my
Blue
dreams.
Was my second album.
Okay.
I would like to go in a hard disagree with your shame of Debbie Gibson.
Yeah.
I love her.
She
unironically.
She's wonderful.
Oh my God.
Okay, what was your first album?
Mine was Michael Jackson Thriller.
Okay. Yours was Thriller? What about you?
I don't know if I remember, but again, my family had records everywhere. My brother works in a music store, so like records were always in there, but I know for a fact that I had cassette singles from En Vogue and Paula Abdul. So represent.
Cassingles.
I definitely had the Free Your Mind cassingle.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I definitely bought that CNC was the one Music Factory's tape.
Oh, I'm gonna make you sweat till you bleed.
Yeah. And
jump to the rhythm, jump, jump to the rhythm, jump.
Technotronic was also one that I remember.
Okay, first concert.
Oh, first concert. So the first one that I remember my parents taking me to the Douglas County Fair to see Three Dog Night. But the first one that I went to of my own volition would have been, let's see, I think it would have been Edgefest in Omaha, Nebraska, where it was like a day-long festival, and the headliners were Violent Femmes. I'm seeing it Riot Fest next month. And 311, obviously, because I'm from Omaha. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, what about you?
This one I'm not ashamed of,
okay,
but I should be. New Kids on the Block.
Oh!
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Nothing wrong with that. Okay.
I cannot remember which I saw first, New Kids on the Block at Alpine Valley.
That's where I was, Alpine Valley.
Oh, were we at the same show?
I think we were. I think Kelsey was there too.
It was in 1988.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It was either that or Taylor Dane at the Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Wow, Taylor Dane.
So,
Tell it to my heart.
I have not heard that name in a long time, right? Taylor
literally
Dane.
In a hotel ballroom. So.
All right. And,
God bless.
Erica, what about you?
I also saw New Kids on the Block on that tour in Jackson, Mississippi. But my first concert, I was 7 years old. We saw the Monkees. It was non-Mike Nesmith Monkees tour.
It was
tour.
Like when they did the 80s tour?
Yes, with Herman's Hermits and Gary Puckett Union Gap. But I also want to just represent, I have seen Jethro Tull a lot. Like over 10 times.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. I'm not kidding. Me too. And I got to see him in the 70s, like in their heyday. They were great. And Ian Anderson, one of the greatest frontmen ever.
Amazing. Even when he was in a wheelchair, when he broke his leg, he was wheeling all over the place.
He's unbelievable.
Inspirational.
Let me tell you mine. This will date me. My first album was Black Sabbath Paranoid.
Nice.
And my concert was Black Oak, Arkansas. Do you guys know Black Oak, Arkansas? Jim Dandy to the Rescue.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I know that song because of the movie
Days
Overboard.
Oh, yeah. opening band for it was Bad Company before their first album came out.
Oh, wow. Snap.
Yeah, that's how old.
I did see Limp Bizkit open for Korn, and my friend caught their demo.
I saw Limp Bizkit open for Faith No More.
Wow.
What? Wow.
I saw Helmet open for Faith No More.
Helmet was the middle band of that show I was at.
Yeah. All right, we could sit here. We're out of time, but we could sit here and do this all night. You guys are great.
You're great.
It's so great to have you here. MCA Day, celebrate the life of Adam Yauch at the Lincoln Hall. All the money goes to charity. She's Crafty, a Chicago's all-female Beastie Boys tribute band. You guys are enormously fun to hang out with, and I know it's going to be a great night on Saturday. So thank you guys for coming down.